Hello, welcome everyone. Thanks for joining us today. We're going to talk about 1.4.1 and 1.5.4. And in terms of 1.4.1, specifically, we're looking at sections 1 and 2, which is, it sounds really boring, doesn't it? But actually, these are really interesting. And I think some of the main areas where we can slip up quite easily as businesses handling complaints and get things a little bit wrong. What do you reckon?
Yeah, I think so. I think the problem comes is when these particular clauses that just roll off the tongue, by the way, don't they? Talk about impartiality in terms of business looking at it, and then consistency. And I think that often gets missed. And I think as businesses, isn't that really difficult to show impartiality when it's about you?
Yeah, and when it's bad enough anyway, even if you're a complaint handler that's working in the middle of, you know, an office that's based miles and miles away from wherever it is that the original thing happened, that's one thing. And you can be more impartial, certainly, because you're slightly divorced from what's going on the front line, aren't you? But for smaller businesses where the compliance director is the complaints director, is the sales director, is the marketing director, how do you possibly show impartiality in that situation? How can you possibly show impartiality?
It's hard. It's very hard, because I mean your fingerprints are all over that, aren't they? You say you are jack of all trades, you have to do a bit of this, a bit of that, and you might very well have been the salesperson that is being complained about because you're a one-man band, or you do this, that and the other for a smaller business. So I think for us, impartiality, when you're the ombudsman, because obviously we have an ombudsman bent, don't we, having given our backgrounds, we go, oh well, that, you know, that's quite easy. But no, it's not if you're actually party to the complaint. How on earth, you know, can you step back if you've sold to Mr. and Mrs. Smith and you've known them for 20 years and you've seen little Johnny growing up? It's just, that's just so difficult to divorce yourself from the emotions.
I think it's an indicating of the fact that the DISP rules were written with large businesses in mind, where that impartiality would be easier to do and to show, because you'd have the resources available to you and enough people to kind of provide that natural barrier. But for any, for any non-large business, medium sized, small, that impartiality requirement becomes even harder to meet. And just do, I'm just thinking about when I used to do with complaints, and if somebody came back to me and said they didn't like something I'd done, you would be inhuman if you didn't for one second have that little gut reaction inside that makes your stomach flip over, or you get a little bit frustrated or angry. Of course you're going to do that, because it's your piece of work. It's what you've done, isn't it? And you spent time on it. And if someone, I don't agree with you, like, what? I spent hours on this. And I think there's more at stake for medium and smaller businesses as well, actually. The whole sort of the cost implication of dealing with a complaint. It's not just the having the brain power and thinking about DISP and everything else, but it's the time away from usually all of the other hats that you're having to wear at the same time.
Yeah. The day job, isn't it? The job that you're actually doing, you know, that you really want to do, that you're passionate about, and then you've got a complaint. It's not like you and I that are passionate about complaints, but it's your day job is that you are helping customers. And so, unfortunately, where it's gone wrong, it can feel, I guess, very critical and very hard to say. Well, it's not even like it's a critique, is it? A complaint is you've mucked up. You've either not done something, or you've done something that has fundamentally upset somebody to the point that they've made a complaint, and that's a very harsh critique of your work that you've probably done with the best of intentions. So
you can be slightly more defensive, and I think it can be quite a lonely place to be if you're trying to do all of this yourself. I'm just trying to think, you know, what can you do when your options are limited? And it probably, and we used to do that, like read stuff out to each other, just to get a second check of if you're on the right lines or not. And that's difficult if you can't do that outside your business, obviously, for confidentiality reasons. But you know, that's where using your trade bodies and other kind of support organisations might be helpful, just to give you a just another brain to kind of mull stuff over a little bit, or even just leave it for a bit. We're going to come on to like about timeliness and stuff like that, but you know, actually sometimes our natural instinct is to kind of crack on with it and get on with it, shall we say. And sometimes I think actually you need to step away from stuff for a little while. I mean, not, you know, like loads and loads of time, but you kind of need to reflect a little bit before you start jumping in and either investigating or trying to reply to a complaint. I think emotions, you have to be the one that's the more objective.
Yeah, that is it, isn't it? It's jumping straight in and going, right, and just bashing out an equally emotional response, isn't it? You know, the customer's upset and then you're upset because of the complaint. But I guess for me, it is taking that step back and reading what you've written and, you know, trying to assess it from how would I feel if a member of my family got this letter, or a friend, you know, if you read it out to them or they read it out to you, would you be thinking, what? Yeah. How have you reached that conclusion? Or would you be thinking, cool, they sound a bit angry, a bit naffed off? So I think it is, you know, taking a step back and try and put yourself in somebody else's shoes when you read that letter and indeed construct that letter. But yeah.
You picked up a really good point there about the kind of like the old customer service thing was about, you know, like putting yourself in your customer's shoes. But what you said there about, think about how would you feel if it was your mum or your dad or your sister or your brother or your aunt or your uncle? What would it feel like to see something that had been sent to them that read the way that it did? And also just make sure it sounds like you, because otherwise, because we have this really strange thing that we see going on where people have had excellent relationships, and because they kind of jump in too quickly to respond back to a complaint, all this kind of puff and nonsense and words that you must say come out. But then you don't sound like you anymore. So the customer gets something that's like not quite you anymore, and it all sort of unsettles everyone. It's a huge task to expect us to be able to, you know, we're having to not just deal with our own emotions, but also deal with those of our customers who, like, don't go on the training. That's what I always say. Customers don't go on the training about how to complain and what to say and what not to say, but we can, we do. And so we've got an advantage that we should use to give us the best result, as much as the customer at least.
Definitely. I mean, that's fundamentally a complaint is the trust is broken. For some reason, it's broken. So if you then write to them, basically sort of computer says no, hereto, ergo, henceforth. Yeah, and that's not how you speak. I mean, I'd say probably 99% of us don't speak that way. Then you're not building that trust, because you're putting on a front when you write that letter. Write it as you. I'm not saying that you need to put F's and Jeff's in. I wouldn't suggest that for 1 minute. But write it as you would have a conversation with that customer and try and build that trust up. It's about putting it back in place again.
So, yeah. It's got to be authentic, isn't it? Because I just think when things are a bit up in the air, when the chips are down, I'm trying to think of lots of other different metaphors and stuff, but you know, when things go wrong, people are really looking out for signs that the person gets what their concern is and has the confidence and the ability to reassure them. That's basically what people are after. And you, as a person that's handling that complaint, when you reply back, you've got to be credible. It's got to sound like you. I don't want to start getting into like your authentic self, because I'll make myself on it again. But you know, it's like that sort of thing about they have to hear your voice when you're writing back to them or speaking to them, because we know how good, you know, having a conversation is about these sorts of things. Because if you don't do any of that, then it's just turned into a sausage machine.
That's it. Which brings us nicely actually onto our next point that we were going to quickly talk about. Which, beautiful segue. It's like almost like we scripted it. We were going to talk about 1.5.4 as well, which is about resolving complaints within 3 business days. So summary resolution communications. Again, something that just rolls off the tongue. But it's something that Caroline talked about in one of her 60-second videos. So if you've not seen it, go and have a look. But it's about resolving. It's about the resolution itself. How do you know you've actually resolved it? Because using, I'm going to call them SRCs. Sorry, I can't keep But how do you know you've resolved it? Because this is your one bite of the cherry, basically. If you don't nail it with the SRC, then it's fast forwarded to the Ombudsman Service. So how do you know you've resolved it?
Yeah, and I think this is a really interesting. So it is quite Marmite, the old SRC. And I think if you can, it's like most things, isn't it? They're tools. And if you put them in the right hands, then they can make a huge difference. If you use them in the wrong way, they are phenomenally damaging to your relationship with a customer. I was saying earlier on, there is nothing worse. If any of you work in a large organisation, you've got a problem with your laptop or whatever, and you get in contact with your IT department, no offence to IT people listening, and you get something back that says that the matter's been resolved and you're still sitting there screaming at your PC because it's not working properly, it's one of the most annoying, frustrating, maddening experiences that you can have as a customer. And if we use an SRC in the wrong way when it comes to handling complaints, we can definitely have the same effect. And this whole thing about when is something resolved, you've got to be bloody sure, if you don't mind me saying, that you've resolved it when you've been speaking to that customer before you send on an SRC.
It's going back to that IT thing, isn't it? I don't know about you, but I know absolutely nothing about IT. If my computer goes wrong, barring switching it off and back on again, that is the extent of my IT skills. I expect it to work, basically. I just want it to work. So when I contact IT, they're the experts. I expect them to be able to tell me how to fix it and then talk me through that process, and then it's resolved. So when you get something back very short, very snappy, in a very short amount of time saying, yeah, it's resolved, and you're still sitting there with it fizzing, then that is a good comparison to make with financial services complaints, because the customer isn't the expert, you are, and they're expecting you, they've raised a problem, they want you to fix it. So when you haven't resolved it and you've told them that they have, picture yourself with that IT. It's a similar situation, isn't it?
It is, and I've seen some really, I've seen good and bad SRCs, like everything in life, there's always sort of like two different versions of it, but there's the one where actually it reflects the conversation that the complaint handlers had with the customer, so that the SRC, it feels like it's followed on from a conversation, as in there are reference points back to what was talked about. And, you know, there might even be an apology in there somewhere as well. That's the kind of like the good end of the spectrum. Bad of the spectrum is a templated letter that doesn't even reference when the call conversation happened, makes no mention of what went wrong, no apology. It is basically a ticket that goes out and says, we've resolved your complaint. Yeah, there's some blah, blah information about what to do if you're not happy. I think people are more inclined to go because that's so unpersonal.
Yeah.
And you know, again, it's that whole thing about feeling like you've been put into a sausage machine. You had a really, really good conversation with somebody, and then you get an SRC which is produced in some central admin part area somewhere, or a, you know, it's a bog standard templated letter that doesn't have any ability to amend it, so it's not personalised.
No,
that would roll me straight away.
Well, yeah, I mean, your SRC is there to help the customer. It's not meant to be a rubber stamp carbon copy of everyone else's letter. So I guess if you're using templated letters, I guess the question is, why are you using the template letter for speed? Yeah. Or is it because you actually think that it's a valuable tool in resolving complaints? If it's the former, then I think that's the wrong motivation. Yeah. And you're going to end up with false referrals off the back of it.
Yeah, and I think it is this real, use them too early, where you've had a conversation with a customer, actually you're relying on something to happen once you put the phone down for it to be resolved in reality. Whether that does or doesn't happen or not is where it can go wrong for businesses. So you make the promise, you think it's resolved, you send out an SRC, in the background something falls over, which is, this is life, this is what happens. you don't do the thing that you promise, the customer doesn't get the information they ask for, and then they are more likely to go to the ombudsman off the back of what's happened, because they've had a, you know, I think people feel quite quickly that they've been fobbed off, and it's a process point as opposed to an actual rounding off of a complaint that's been resolved quickly and what's been done to sort it out, and still express your you know, how sorry you are that something's gone wrong for somebody. That's not rocket science.
No,
it's an area that we're losing, and I know that I'm being kind of very sort of on the negative side of it, but it's frustrating when you see something which could be used for good, and actually by misusing it, it's creating more of a problem for businesses. And I worry sometimes that some organisations are chasing an SRC related resolution as opposed to doing what I would consider to be probably a more in-depth proper investigation. And yes, it's going to take longer to do it, but a response that's probably based on the thing that needs to happen having been done, as opposed to a fingers crossed, let's make sure it happens on, you know,
let's hope for the best.
We just resolved the niggle, but we've not actually made sure that we've resolved it. So I think
I think that's it really, isn't it? And it's you mentioned it before, it's talking to the customer. If you talk to the customer, you're more likely to know if you have resolved it, you know, if so it's I guess it's checking in with the customer, not just assuming that it's resolved. You need to check in with them and make sure that they're happy, that you and them are on the same page, basically.
Yeah. And if you're promising something, an action to happen as part of that early resolution, make sure it's happened. I don't like, that could be a diary note, it could be you've got a Wizzy system that will diarize stuff for you and it will pop up and let you know when it's gone. But there is a tendency for us to resolve stuff a little bit too early sometimes in financial services on the promise that something's going to happen. We don't actually follow it to make sure it is going to happen, and that's where we fall down with customers, because, you know, you're dealing with a, I always think from a customer's perspective, you're dealing with a complaint handling department that's supposed to be the kind of the pinnacle in terms of a customer service experience.
Yeah.
And if they can't deliver what they've promised, then who else are you going to trust?
Well, exactly. It's that trust again. It comes down to that trust. You've broken the trust with the complaint, and then if you don't follow through and put it right, make good on it, that trust is gone. And that customer will, A, send the complaint to the FOS, so you have that as well. But then you've not brought that customer back on your brand, so they will probably walk.
Yeah, because they've already complained.
Yeah.
What else is there? And we know that people are still inclined to just give up. And I think if you as a complaint handling team haven't given the customer a good experience, then you've basically burnt your bridges.
Yeah.
Very hard to come back from that. Very, very hard. And we know that from complaints that have gone to the Ombudsman Service. The relationship by that point,
It's really broken.
So if you're going to use an SRC, please make sure that your customer is actually happy with what you're doing, and make sure that whatever it is that you said you're going to do, you do it.
In short. But yeah, so that's what we're covering today. So I hope that's been useful for you all. Just to give you a heads up, we're going to do these once a month. So next month, watch this space, because we're going to be talking about DISP 1.6. And in case you don't know what 1.6 is, I know, exciting. It's final response letters.
Oh, well, we can definitely talk a lot on that.
Oh, can't we? We'll be here all day. Yeah. Yeah. No, we won't, I promise. It'll be short and snappy. But we shall, well, thanks for listening. Thanks for having a listen to us. And we shall see you next month. Goodbye for now.
Bye.